Now, more of That Is Good to Know. Continuing with today's program, here's Jeff Stanislow.
Hello, and welcome to That Is Good to Know with your host, Jeff Stanislow. Hopefully, everybody's having a great day out there in Tampa. Today, we're going to drop some knowledge with you on with our friend here, Tom Clementi from Frazier & Dieter. He's a senior tax partner. Going to be talking about a lot of great things that I think will be helpful from you, from doing some tax planning to 529Ks and or 529 plans. And welcome to the show today, Tom.
Hey, it's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Wonderful. So, Tom, we're going to dive right into this. You know, we got a lot of people out there that, you know, like, what is it? All we know in life is, you know, horseshoes and hand grenades and taxes are things that we got to take care of. So you've been doing this for a long time. You're a senior tax planner at Frazier Dieter downtown, and 8 years there, I understand, correct?
Yep, that's correct. Yeah, I've been here 8 years.
So you've probably seen a lot of things come and go, especially we know the tax code changes quite a bit, and a lot of great information, sometimes hard to sift through. But today we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, kind of like some things that people should think about when it comes down to, you know, the accounting side of their lives, you know, tax advising side of their lives. We're going to even touch into 529 plans if you have children. So, again, this is Jeff Stanislow, and we're talking with Tom Clementi, and you're listening to That Is Good to Know show, and you can visit our website at thatisgoodtoknow.com. Tom, thanks again for joining us. Let's dive right into it. So, you know, a lot of people have kids. Let's start there, the 529 plans, and we can dive into some other things. If I have some kids and I want to start thinking about saving for college, you know, what are some of the vehicles that you would recommend to our listeners?
Sure, absolutely. We can start with that. So in the state of Florida, you have a couple options when it comes to saving for a child's education. One of them being 529 plans, that it's a prepaid plan, essentially, to where you're locking in the cost of tuition at today's rates. And essentially, your return is just getting that today's rate for if tuition increases, you're locking it in. There's a more flexible option. You know, if you don't do the prepaid college plan, you can open up a 529 plan pretty much in any state and invest, and the earnings on your investments grow tax-free over life. And assuming you use those distributions to fund education, education expenses like tuition and room and board and such, the distributions will be exempt from tax when they come out. So that's just a more flexible way.
Okay, taking a step back, Tom, and where does someone go to open up a 529? They go to their bank, or where do they go to the college they want to go to, state of Florida? You know, talk to a little bit about how I want to open one up. What do I got to do?
Yeah, so the easiest option is to go to any main brokerage. Fidelity is a good one. They have a lot of different plans that you can sign up for. I'm sure Schwab and all the other players have great programs as well. But there's a lot of good literature out there on these big investment websites like Fidelity.
Okay. And you were saying that if it's used for tax, used for educational purposes, it's tax-free. A lot of time, where is the kind of gray area when it kind of comes into, you know, what is tuition versus room and board versus, you know, food outside the campus or things of that nature? You know, can you advise, you know, potential parent to, you know, maybe have a conversation with their child about like where they can go spend the money, and then what counts for them personally, and how they handle it with their accountants and taxes?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, anything directly related to your education would qualify. You know, room and board, the fees that you pay directly to the school, textbooks, even computers and peripheral equipment is kind of the gray area, right? I guess you could make an argument that, you know, and even things outside of just a computer could qualify as peripheral equipment. So,
yeah, I see, like, you know, someone needs the latest and greatest iPad now, mm-hmm. because a lot of this stuff is done with applications now, apps, and, you know, not the traditional PC that a lot of people are using. And so if someone, you know, it's kind of like, I take a look at it when you you know, do your taxes and you, you know, write off, you know, maybe your automobile, you know, and it says, oh, how many miles were used for business and how many weren't. And, you know, you just got to be able to kind of answer the question and be able to support it if needed down the road. Right.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Documentation is key. And it's always a good rule of thumb not to push it too far.
Right, right. You know, I guess lay your pillow, lay your head down on the pillow at night and sleep good.
Exactly.
It's kind of like the rule of thumb. So we're talking with Tom Clemente. Tom is a senior tax advisor here at Fraser and Dieter, talking 529s. Tom, tell me a little bit about the firm and what you guys do. And then if someone wanted to reach out to you, how would they do that?
Sure. So Fraser and Dieter is a national firm, even international. We have an office in the UK as well. But the firm's been around 30 or 40 years, based out of Atlanta, Georgia. I'm here in the Tampa office, and I focus mostly on closely held businesses, tax planning, tax compliance, that sort of thing. Do a little bit of private equity work, and you can find me on LinkedIn, actually.
Okay. So if you're out there and you want to reach Tom, you can just search him up on LinkedIn. It's Tom Clemente, and he'll be there with Fraser and Dieter. Also, at our website, www.thatisgoodtoknow.com, we'll add a link to Tom and his bio so you can reach him there. Tom, so kind of going a little step further on the 529s, any changes gone going on in that space, alternatives to 529? You know, what would someone want to do if they, you know, maybe want to, you know, look for an option? Or has there been any tax law changes with a 529 account? Anything coming down the pipeline that you want to talk about?
Yeah, absolutely. So I know a big concern with people with 529 plans is what if their child doesn't go to college or doesn't do the traditional route? What can they do with the funds? And it's pretty flexible in that you could pass it down to another child of yours, or even your child's child if they end up having children. So you can pass it down many lines and kind of go that route. You could also take it out to pay for private school. There, okay. You could also use that the funds for that as well, and that'd be a qualified expense.
So private school, even like you know, K through 12?
Correct.
Okay. Yep. Is that relatively new? Because I'd always thought it was just for colleges.
No. It's that piece has been around. I believe there's probably an annual cap on how much you can take out to pay for the private school. But yes, so if you want to use it to fund your child's private fifth grade, you know, tuition, you could do so.
Oh, interesting.
Yep. Interesting. And but bringing it back to, you mentioned if there's anything new, and yes, there is. So additional flexibility has been added to the 529 to where you could down the road after 15 years of the account being open. So say your child, you know, there's excess funds in there, or they ended up not going to school. You could take up to $35,000 and roll it into a Roth IRA.
Okay. Into a Roth IRA. Correct. So that gives them an option without, you know, taking a penalty. Is there still a penalty associated with
it? No penalty. So okay. It just rolled directly over, and that's new. It'll start January 1st of 24.
Oh, so that's brand new. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people would like to know that. I'd like to hear that, that option. Again, one more time on what the option is.
Yeah. So, down the road, as long as the account's been open for 15 years, on a 529 plan, you can go ahead and roll over up to $35,000 max lifetime from the 529 plan into a Roth IRA. It's still subject to the annual caps, so you'd have to do it over multiple periods, multiple years. But it's another flexible option out there.
That's really good to know. That's good to know. That's the whole purpose of the show. You're listening to Jeff Stanislow, That Is Good to Know, with Tom Clemente, senior tax partner for Fraser and Dieter. So I believe that is a good option that they came up with to, because oftentimes in Florida, I mean, there's a lot of Bright Future scholarships. There's a lot of, you know, even on the private side, there's, you know, tuition reimbursements or scholarships or things of that nature. So oftentimes people could find themselves with an overfunded 529. And so you're saying they have an option to use it for another child, and they have an option to possibly even roll that over to that child's child. And then now a new option in 2024 is to move it into a Roth IRA.
Yes, that's correct. And also there's another option to it. The distributions become taxable, but you avoid the 10% penalty. If the child in your scenario receives a scholarship, you can withdraw money, you know, cash from the account equal to the scholarship, even though you didn't come out of pocket for those expenses. You avoid the 10% penalty, but the funds are taxed. The earnings are taxed tied to the funds that come out.
Okay. You know, so as people, you know, kind of put together their plans, it's good to note that they need to think a little bit through it. And I think your firm, Fraser and Dieter, does a lot of that for its clients in working through those. So just kind of like, how about businesses? Are businesses, can they do a 529, or is it all individual? Or talk to me a little bit about that.
Sure. Yeah. No, it's at the individual level. So, okay. Yep.
So as we kind of take a look at some other things, and you're listening to Tom Clemente, Fraser and Dieter, and Jeff Stanislow, your host of That Is Good to Know. On a side note, the folks thinking about going to Valspar, which is coming up here in a couple months, go to thatisgoodtoknow.com, and we're giving away a few tickets there. Please please take advantage of that. So, Tom, back to tax planning and strategy and conversation. What are some of the things that are changing for this year that people, you know, might know about? We talked a little bit about the 529 and the ability to move excess funds into a Roth. Anything else that some people should be just aware of, whether they're a small business or a business owner or an individual that they got to think of?
Yeah, absolutely. Retirement accounts. So there's a lot of new credits out there available for smaller employers that maybe have never had a retirement plan in place before. So there's credits available up to certain thresholds to reimburse you for costs of establishing the plan. And then also if the employer contributes money into the employee's retirement plan, they can recoup a portion of their employer contribution via tax credit. So that's something that's new. And then also, you know, annually, the max 401k contributions go up. So in 2024, in 2023, the max is $22,500. I'd have to look what 24 is.
Okay. So, you know, back to the kind of the business side, but one of the things that, you know, I always have questions is when these tax laws or changes go into effect. So what should I do now? You know, when does that go into effect? Is it, you mentioned the credits for small businesses and setting up a plan and things of that nature, that there's more available, but do they start that in 2024 and that's when it kicks in? Or, you know, talk to us a little bit about the timing of things when they say this is something that's new, but when's it going to affect?
No, absolutely. Typically it's after year end, right? So your January 1st cutoff. I believe there were some credits in 23 for retirement plans, but they've greatly expanded that in 2024.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about yourself, Tom. I mean, you studied at UCF, and are you a native Tampa person, or where are you from? Give us a little backstory on Tom Clemente.
Sure. Yeah, I was actually born in Brooklyn, New York, lived there for 8 or 10 years, and then grew up out in Valrico, Florida. Went to high school at Durant High School, and then went out to UCF for 4 years.
Okay, fantastic. And did you get a finance degree, an accounting degree? What did you get your skill set in there?
I thought I just wanted to do finance, but I pivoted early because I wasn't going to be the sales type. So I got the accounting degree as well, so finance and accounting.
Okay, yeah. And you've been here for 8+ years, working in a lot of changes. You've seen so much changes. We're at his beautiful offices today in downtown Tampa at 401 East Jackson, right? Overlooking downtown. But as you look downtown here, what have you seen in the last 8-10 years that has changed for you from just a strategic business perspective? I mean, the landscape has changed, but how about on the business side? Are you seeing larger businesses come in, or more sophisticated businesses, more people that need your services? Tell me a little about what your thoughts there.
Yeah, so definitely. I mean, the whole downtown Tampa landscape's changed, and I feel like, you know, it's a huge shift. And I'm also finding on the on the taxpayer side or on the client side, right? A lot of CPA firms are inundated with clients and they're actually not able to take on any new clients. So that's been a nice source of, you know, new business lately, is just kind of CPAs that are overwhelmed and the clients need to find somewhere else.
So when you look at kind of the landscape, I mean, you're a larger firm, you know, people kind of lump, I guess, CPAs, tax planners, you know, BPOs, all these types of things. What, you know, really differentiates you between, like, you know, an accountant and, like, your firm, you know, Fraser Dieter? Is it, like, just the resources? Is it the skill sets that are resources that are available to you in those specialized areas?
Yeah, I'd say first and foremost, it's the people and the client experience. Just making sure we're a value add and not just compliance driven. There can be a lot of, you know, you could get lost in the compliance world and not really ask the questions of your client. Where do you want to be in 5 to 10 years? So really focusing on the client and their needs, and then also having the specialty and the expertise to kind of get them to the place that they need to be.
Yeah, there's a lot to be said about having the expertise and a specific skill set to accomplish a goal and task. We're talking with Tom Clemente from Fraser and Dieter. This morning we had a kind of a business meeting, and one of the things that we talked about is, like, international tax codes and how they're changing and how they're getting so advanced that it really, really is taking more of a specialist to be able to provide those types of services, and Fraser and Dieter can handle that for their clients. Kind of pivoting just to, you know, general, I would imagine the new year, a lot of people have new ideas and are ready to make some new changes, and they want to open a business. Let's just talk a little bit about, hey, I want to open a business and I got this great idea. And, you know, what are some of the things that you would advise someone that goes from, I'm going to take that leap and go out onto my own, and I got this new idea, this concept, or what have you? Where would you recommend they start? And, like, you maybe talk a little bit about the business structure or choices they need to make. And, you know, you guys advise these types of people all the time.
No, absolutely. My one biggest piece of advice is to definitely invest on the front end, right? Don't just think, you know, don't just keep your financials on the back of a napkin. Just try to, you know, really understand that keeping good records from the get-go is probably a great practice to have. There's a lot of people that, you know, we eventually have to come in and do some cleanup work for, where if they started off the business with the QuickBooks or however they plan to keep track of the financials, you know, that's the way to go. And you mentioned choice of entity, right? LLC is the most popular one. It's easy to set up. But then when it comes to taxes, do you make the S election or not to be an S corporation? So those are just some things that you want to think about.
So maybe dive into that just briefly so people understand that they have to make an election, right, after they establish the company, whether it's if they're an LLC, they have to say, okay, are we going to be a corporation or is it like a subchapter S and that Correct. Election? What's the difference if someone doesn't make the election, which you have to do? What does it classify them as? And then if they do make the election, what changes for them?
Sure. So if a sole proprietor sets up an LLC, doesn't make an election, and you're the sole proprietor, 100% owner, it's what they call a single member LLC. So all the activity would just go on your individual income tax return. If you have a partner, it would default to a partnership return.
Okay.
If you had more than one owner.
And each of those has its own, I guess, probably big book of rules and laws and
Correct.
Things of that nature.
Yes.
If one was to just say, hey, I'm gonna step out on my own and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to be a single sole proprietor, but I'm going to take those good notes and get QuickBooks and do all those things. What do you recommend them to do as far as, like, you know, professional services? At what level does their business start growing where they, you know, need a firm like Fraser Dieter or, you know, maybe an accountant, at least to help them out?
Yeah. I mean, it's always a good idea to run your thoughts at any level by somebody, but I'd say our sweet spot for clients is, you know, annual revenue of anywhere between 2 million and 200 million in the mid-market space.
Mid-market space?
Yeah.
Yeah. I would imagine, like, you start getting up in that, you know, over 200 million, you got teams of people at the firm plus outside counsel and outside, you know, firms that are helping them. But just, you know, it seems like it's a market that is definitely, I shouldn't say underserved, but definitely needed. Because a lot of times people start growing their business and they start trying to do some things on their own. And cleaning that up, mess up, I think you mentioned, Tom, and we're talking with Tom Clemente, Frazier, and Dieter, and you're listening to Jeff Stanislow on the That Is Good to Know. Visit our website at thatisgoodtoknow.com. Again, Tom, thanks for spending some time here with us. But where I was going is that, you know, you start earning some money, you start building a business, and then, you know, you start getting into the couple $1 million range. It's time to seek some professional help and, you know, not try to just manage it on a spreadsheet and away you go.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yes. I mean, there could be things you're not thinking of. And if you don't, not everybody knows the right questions to ask or, you know, so it's always good to kind of run your scenario by somebody and seek out help and seek out the correct service provider for what your business needs.
When it comes down to just like keeping it all together, what's your recommendations for, you know, what tool sets do you use? What resources do you recommend that people, you know, maybe just kind of have in their, you know, browser tabs or something like that, as a business owner, as an individual where they can look up information? I know SunBiz is a pretty popular one. I think, kind of as a person that does marketing and things like that, I always recommend someone go check to make sure that your idea or the company name you want to come up with isn't taken. Start there. Yep. But how about some other resources where you would recommend a listener to say, hey, you know, I'm thinking about opening a business and, you know, where should I go or what some of the things I should do?
Yeah, I mean, it's always good to start SunBiz and kind of read, you know, the different options you have. There's a ton of literature out there, you know, that Journal of Accountancy is a website that publishes a lot of things business related. And then there's the Tax Advisor, which publishes, you know, some tax specific articles. And there's a lot of good information there, that'll give it, you know, like new tax law changes and such.
So, yeah, definitely SunBiz. I've found it to be a very reliable source. And then, you know, what's your take a little bit about AI and what's going to happen with within your industry? I'm sure it's kind of a buzzword. We got a couple minutes left. Just was curious about like where you see the future of tax planning and the things that you do at Frazier Dieter and how these type of technologies might be able to help.
No, absolutely. It's going to be a huge help. So I think it's going to be, you know, the industry, the public accountant industry, specifically tax, is going to take out the compliance side mostly, right? Like the compliance will just be taken care of by AI, scan the documents, probably will require minimal review. And so the shift really needs to be into structuring and client service and kind of looking ahead more than looking back in the compliance standpoint.
I think that's very much needed because I think a lot of times, I know, at least in my professional career, it seems like my accountant or, you know, professional people, they do the work and they do good work, but they would love to spend more time on strategy with you and more time planning and more time looking forward. And you probably are the same, you know, in regards to it. But when it comes down to doing things like compliance and doing things that are being done today, oftentimes the people are very busy just keeping up. So let me finish up here with just, you know, thanking you. Again, we're listening to Tom Clemente. Tom is a tax planner partner at Frazier & Dieter here downtown Tampa. Does a great job. I've enjoyed spending some time with him. And I hope that you have gained some valuable knowledge because the whole purpose of this show is that is good to know. And if you spent some time with us today, probably a few things that you could take home with you that was good to know today. Tom, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Jeff.
Take care. Signing off.